When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
On the Ramblecast, just can't wait to get on the Ramblecast. The life I love is the podcasting with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the Ramblecast. On the Ramblecast, we're talking to people that I've never met, hearing jokes that I love to hear again. And I can't wait to get on the Ramblecast.
Best one yet.
That was a really good one.
Yeah. I had the rubber boat effect going on in my ear again, so that was a tough one to do.
It's like you put some effort into it this week, which was nice.
Well, I don't know if you're joking or not, but I almost delayed it, and then I actually had the time to actually work on a second verse. So I was like, okay, I can go ahead and do it.
I really liked it. Sherry said she's a long day. She's time for some fun. She came to the wrong place, but it's okay.
Oh, so Sherry, just a big thank you to Sherry. She reached out to me and sent me a couple of links that she wanted me to see because I'm not on Facebook. And I will tell you, Sherry, I laughed my ass off, and as did everybody at work for a good solid hour. So thank you so much.
I guess we all don't need to laugh. That's okay.
Nope.
It's funny how I told Chris a few weeks back, like I was going to follow in Chris and Matt's footsteps and get off Facebook as well for a while. And then after like a day, I realized that the majority of my iPhone games use Facebook as a login. So I couldn't play them. So I was like, dark. So I had to access it again.
That sucks, man.
The little things, right?
Yeah, it is tough. It is tough. The things we, you know, I gave up MySpace, so I know the pain. Apple humor? Like I wouldn't get Apple humor?
Nope, you wouldn't get it at all.
Can I just say something? I hate when people say that. You wouldn't get that at all. You would not even give me a chance.
Wow. You would not appreciate it.
No, you know what? Nope, I don't even want to know now.
Is it ageism, Chris? Is that what it is?
No. Put it this way, Jack. Let's say there's a t-shirt company that decided to make shirts all about the idiosyncrasies of running an ice skating rink.
Another big word.
Yeah, you'd love it. You thought it'd be funny, but Nick, Matt, and myself, like, this is fucking stupid. So
it's pretty much the same, but everything's the same every business. It's all the same crap. Especially if you have the public. So, but you know what? I don't want to know. I don't care. I've already lost interest in it.
Great.
I'm going to go buy this death house next to Matt.
It's not for sale.
I thought it was for sale.
It should be torn down.
No, there's somebody that lives in there now.
I thought it was up for sale because I thought that's what I read when I was doing some research. Now, I did find out that If you missed the show last week.
If it is for sale, then my neighbor hasn't posted anything out in his yard that it's for sale.
Yeah.
He's showing anyway, no signs of moving.
I don't know if you can see it, but right there is the slab where the dead people are at, I believe. Right there. Yeah,
man.
Creepy as fuck.
Yeah. It's, actually, if you look at the whole house, they really did a good job fixing it. It's old, but it's got some style to it. It's
historic, and when all of this stuff was going on, it did not look like this at all. So in the last podcast, if you missed the ghost story of the motorboating ghost, go back, listen to that podcast, get caught up to speed, because there's a lot of ins and outs, ups and downs. You know, it's like the dude. Currently, though, there's people that live there. They bought it from the people that renovated it and took it up to speed to where it's at now.
Yeah, they did. They did a night because it's got a nice, cool staircase and all that. Mm-hmm. But I did find out.
You got pictures of the interior of the house, Jack. How much stalking are you doing here?
You just get the address, and it said it was up for sale. So
you can see inside my house. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not that difficult. It's probably something you would understand, Nick.
Yeah, maybe it's an older Zillow list, because I can't imagine because right now, currently, Jack, where if you move out of the way there, again, so we could look at that slab there. Okay. So the slab right there, there's actually a building that sits on that now.
Is it a small church? Is it a small church? Like with
No, it's just like a little kind of thing.
Don't know there's dead people there, right?
Yeah. No, not the people that live there now. So
I can't believe I'm thinking about sending him a letter.
Again, like it was those headstones were cut off when the people that bought it that like ripped out all of the walls. So at one point in time this house I think had like 4 units. And basically a slumlord owned it forever.
And what is on this side? Isn't this your house over to the right?
Don't be disclosing.
Oh, you're over here?
No, the brown fence is mine. I built.
Yeah, that's why I'm pointing to it right there.
Oh,
right?
Oh, I didn't know. I couldn't see you pointing. Are you pointing with your hands or another?
Since it's technically above the dead people, would it technically be a crypt then?
Next to the bird feeder.
That's true.
True.
It would be a crypt.
It's a crypt. Yeah.
So,
or Randy in the chat says a mausoleum.
Mausoleum.
So just so that we, we buy this house. It's next to it. It's just a shithole. Like there's 4 units in there, people coming and going. At one point, these people bounced in and bounced out, and the cops were looking for it. And it was a really sad kind of thing because they had a little daughter with them, and it's like he's running from the cops because of drugs, basically, and meth, or what have you. So
my wife's trying to kill him.
So then the person that owned it basically, like, I don't know what happened, like they foreclosed on it or whatever. So these other people bought it, thought they had big aspirations of just taking on
this house. Yes, Chris.
And they ripped out all of the walls. And once they ripped out all of the walls and turned it from a 4-unit place into a 1-unit place, it wasn't easy for once it went into foreclosure again with these people. It wasn't easy for a slumlord to just come in and flip it. They couldn't just flip it into another, like, it was like, oh, the walls are out. Ugh.
So the people that are there now are the ones that finished the house.
No. So, no. Okay. So it sat vacant after the people that ripped out all the walls for a long time. It sat vacant for
And they couldn't locate those people.
They couldn't locate those people at all.
Maybe
what's up? No. They bounced. They left. They had a bunch of dogs and they left. So then, it sat vacant for a while. And one of the contractors that does a lot of historic work around the city had seen it and they decided to buy it. And then he's the one that fixed it up from there, and covered over the gravestone. So I'm sure he saw them. But I'm sure he just was kind of like, we're not even going to deal with that.
Would you be upset if I sent an anonymous letter to these people and said, hey, you got dead bodies under your shed?
I would probably be a little annoyed, just because, it's...
I think it'd be fun.
I would actually, you know what I think you should do.
Well, how's it gonna? I wouldn't say it's. It'd be anonymous. I would just.
Yeah, but you know.
What I think you should do.
Find this podcast, and then my neighbors know that I'm talking about them on a podcast.
I could do it like you know when someone kidnaps someone and they do the take out the letters from the magazine.
Oh, that'll make it even look cooler and more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's this little company I know in Indiana. It's a paper company. See if they have any like this old, like dated paper, and like get like an old looking envelope and an old looking paper, and then do the newspaper clippings and all that stuff, and then see if you can get like an old like 1930 stamp and stick it on there or something. You know, like something that's like the letter just now got there. You know, from like the past. It's like there's
that's a great idea.
So, Nick, you brought up last week. You mentioned that there's like surveying companies that can use equipment that can go down and like, do like a surface scan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any companies that would actually perform that duty for a civilian operation?
You would need to find some kind of survey company. I mean, not in Indiana, of course, but first thing you probably have is a gradiometer, which is like this. It's a magnetic pole. You can't have any kind of metal on you, and it will. It's like the cheapest one, and you can find anomalies underneath the ground. And then after that, you'll get the ground penetrating gyro, which is like a, looks like a lawnmower. And you slowly push that over the ground, and it will send a shockwave down into the ground and come back up. And if you could estimate,
what would the cost be to have a team of folks go to this house and perform
for that little bitty backyard? Not much. You know, like maybe
could they do two houses? Do we need Matt's backyard?
Probably $500.
$500?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's like 2 years worth of Patreon payments. Let's just send them a card to a local place and be like, we will pay for it if we can come and film our fucking Netflix special.
Yeah. Well, I think we wait though till I sit.
I really don't like how this podcast is.
Let's convince Matt to send it.
This isn't about you, Matt. Stop thinking this is about you. This is about your fucking freaky deaky neighbors.
What we can do, Matt, think long term here. Mm-hmm. Think retirement. Because like Chris is saying, that Netflix special would just probably, it probably win some Emmys.
I mean, pre-production, it would win.
Yeah. So, what we do is you put some cameras on your house pointed towards where the shed is. So when they panic and come running out there and dig up the dead bodies, we have it. We have cameras face. We're already filming it. Think about.
What if we just start a company and buy that equipment and do it ourselves?
Yeah.
No, gradiometer alone will cost you $50,000.
I could probably borrow Jay's Ghostbuster outfit. I'll borrow Jay's Ghostbuster outfit.
I think I've got a Lego Proton Packer on here.
The people that live there now have no idea about this stuff in the past, and I haven't. There hasn't been any activity.
Matt, your fucking negativity on this subject has got to stop. Okay, like we're in the midst of creating here. Like this is actually going to make us money, and we're going to win awards.
What if we offer? And we're going to uncover some
shit.
I'm not going to do it for a bag. No, I wouldn't.
All right, you're out then, Matt.
What?
Yeah, you get no credit for this. We're just going to go.
You're not going to be an executive producer on this shit.
Kim, at a distance there, it's just my eyesight. I thought that was an eggplant. But that is a coffin.
I thought it was an eggplant too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was like saved by the dong and the bell. I was like, what's she talking about?
Yeah, I gotta be honest too. I thought it was an eggplant also.
Okay, so that's a
all right. Well, so we'll work on Matt, and if Matt decides not to do it, the three of us will.
I'm thinking Matt actually might be the Rick Wright of the Pink Floyd record The Wall here, because that's what happened with him. You know, they fired him from the band. And he was hired on as a session manager, and he's the only one that made money off of that deal because he'd have to, you know, all the expenses weren't tied to him. So
maybe that's Matt's plan. Maybe that's what his plan is.
Or he could be the Dave Mustaine of the group and go and try and find his own production.
That's
I was really just trying to talk to Jack about his own experiences and kind of relate it back to me, you know.
But yours is a lot better. Mine, I'll bring the thing out here. See if there's any dead bodies. I don't care. I mean.
They all got washed away. That would be
interesting for you, Jack. I think that would.
But hold on. We know they're dead bodies right there. We know that.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Yeah,
like we know it. Thing. Wow. It's like we're going in with like the wild card. The fact that we know that there's shit there. I mean, it's a win-win.
I can't see them digging that up anymore. You know, I can.
You're disturbing. Is it though? You're disturbing someone's final resting place that could haunt you forever.
I don't live next to the house, so
I have not had any activity.
Why did you disturb my sleep, Jack?
I got it. They can come fight with the other ghost I have here. But I did find out that the people are not leaving because they've been murdered. I did find that out. The people that keep leaving the house, you know, it's been mysterious how they just up and leave.
Yeah.
Because their next door neighbor keeps calling 911 on them because they might get in a spat. So that's why they've been leaving.
That's a different side of the street.
In the same vein, but different story. I am not a very spiritual person.
I don't think any of us are.
Right. I don't really, but I don't think you have to be spiritual to kind of appreciate the.
Wait, do you mean religious or spiritual? Yes. You mean religious.
Religious. I'm not really a religious person.
I'm a man of faith.
But I don't think that you necessarily have to be a religious person or spiritual to believe in some of this, you know, phenomenon.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll share. Totally. I'm going to share a personal story. And it's interesting because it's really fresh, as in like 24 hours old. So yesterday I'm in my kitchen and I forgot what I was doing. I think I was just like sorting stuff out with like mail or whatever. No, definitely wasn't not ripping one out. And dude, this is no joke. And I'm being very sincere, kind of like bringing up, you know, pulling down my guard a little bit in this one, but no gummies were involved either. Mm-hmm. But I had this crazy experience yesterday where I was in the kitchen I can't fucking explain it. It was nuts. Like I had this overwhelming, like unbelievable surge of like emotion and this weird feeling. Like the hair on my arm stood straight up and the back of my neck stood straight up. And it's fucked up, man. But I feel like it was totally my dad. Because I had like all these, this flow of all these crazy emotions about my dad, just out of the blue. Wasn't even thinking about him at the time. It just fucking happened. And I'm sitting there and like I froze and it was nuts. And my wife comes in. She's like, are you okay? She had no idea what the fuck was going on. And I was like, yeah. Dude, but the wildest shit just happened. What the fuck is that? Behind you, Matt.
That's why we're doing it. Yeah.
So it was.
That's the house.
It was the wildest thing. And I've never been so sure about something I'm not sure about. But it was awesome. It's actually fucking incredible. And it went away. And like I told my wife and she was like, wow. Like she's like, you were like in a trance. But it was an incredible moment. It was incredible, it was like a mix of like such like happiness and joy and sadness and everything all mixed up and just like smacked me in the face at once. And wow. it was just this weird feeling that
my ghost was there. You. Yeah.
It was fucking cool, man.
I meant to ask or talk about this last week, but has anybody had like the goodbye dream? You know, like you have a dream where somebody comes to you in your dream that has passed.
No,
I had a dream that John Lithgow was trying to kill me. But
Trinity killer.
Well, in the same vein as what Chris is talking about, like I've had.
No, I got you.
Yeah. I've had after my grandfather died, I had this really profound dream. You know, with him, it felt like him, like what Chris is saying, where it's just like it feels so tangible that it almost like. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like their presence or something. Like you're like, oh, like that's you. Like it's so hard to describe because it's like, it's almost like a taste in your mind, you know? After my mom died, I had a dream with her as well. And that one was specifically like goodbye. Like she was like, I'm going away. I can't be with you. Like my sister was there. Very emotional. I was crying, like just, like weeping in the dream. And then also with my friend Ed, who had committed suicide, it was the very next morning that I had a dream with him, and that was really powerful, you know, and it was definitely like my last moment with him. And, you know, I never had another dream, you know. Every now and then I'll have a dream with my mom, you know, like where she'll appear or something, and you know, and those are really powerful. Sometimes they can be really hurtful because it's like you in the dream, I'm usually like, wait, where have you been? You know, and I'm trying, like my conscious life is trying to rationalize like, well, you've been gone, you know, and you want to be with them. But then there's this pain that's involved with just like trying to understand it. So
I think I said last week, my mom had a dream that her mom sat at the edge of her bed and said, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. And she found out next day her mom died. Oh. I mean, I don't know how to be okay when my grandfather was still alive. He was kind of an ass. But anyway, but then my daughter also, I said last week, my uncle was her godfather. And she had a dream that he came to visit her and he had died that day. That night. So, and like I said, I have dreams all the time about my dad, that he's still alive, but he's still suffering from the disease he died of. So it's like they're shitty dreams. I mean, I just can't get. I think it's because I haven't, even though it's been close. It hasn't been 4 years. The way he died was such a shitty way to die that I'm angry about it. So that's probably why I have dreams about that, where I'm just still pissed about it. But anyway,
the grieving process is so, you know, different for everybody. But one thing is true, at least from other people that I've talked to that have dealt with very close death, is like that first year, that first period of time, like, it's like you're so sensitive, but you're so aware at the same time. And it's like, I don't know, at some point it's like I wanted to go back to that year where I was grieving still, because I was closer to her, or I was closer to the event. And in some ways, like, it's like I almost, you know, miss the sorrow in a weird way. I don't know how to describe it.
It's a tangible thing that you can latch onto.
Yeah. It's like, and the more distance that's there, it's like what you said, Jack, is like, you know, it's been, you know, you're like, oh, it's been 4 years, or, you know, and it's like, in some way it's like time diminishes the meaning of it, but it doesn't for you, because it's like, it's still fresh. You know,
I watched something recently it's on the same thing you're talking about, where someone talks about that. Actually, it's that new Away show that's on Netflix. I think that's what it was. And then they're talking about somebody dies, somebody passes away, and someone asks them about, you know, grieving and all that, and they say, you know, like, the pain is intolerable for the longest time, you know. And it says, like, you know, and you hate that you feel that way. He goes, but then eventually it goes away. But then you start hating that you don't feel it anymore, because you feel like, in a way, you're forgetting that person if you don't feel that way. You know, it was like I can't say it verbatim like what they were, but it's like, wow, it's like, that really makes a lot of sense, like what they're saying in that one line dialogue. And I was like, that's really cool. But, you know, because, like, you never want to forget people that you were important to in your life. But, you know, but eventually it's just the way life goes, is that you move on from there. And it's just like, and you hate that it does that. I think we've talked about it before, like, the things I regret, the people that have died, you know, a long time ago or whatnot, is that how, you know, your life changes so much from, you know, the time you're 18 to 25 or 55 or whatever, or 87, like you. And and that things I, like, you know, my grandfather that died in 98, it's things that I regret. You know, I was 17 at the time, and things you talk about at the age of 17, you wouldn't talk about it at the age of 35 or 50. And it's things that you would like to talk about them as your life progressed, but, you know, they couldn't be there with you. And you're like, oh man, I really wish my dad was here, or I wish my granddad was here, or I wish, you know, but whoever, you know, that's what, is what blows my mind the older I get and the more I think about things like that. Not to get too deep. We are getting deep.
No, we're already there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I hope Sherry got the laugh she was looking for.
I know, for real.
That's a little too soon there, Jack.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's my dad. It's a shitty fucking way to, because when I found out that's what Robin Williams had, I go, well, I see why he killed himself.
Yeah.
Because it's I never even knew about it. I didn't even know it existed until my dad was diagnosed with it. Well, at least that's what they think he had. But it's ridiculous. But on a cheerful note, Padres.
I didn't even know San Diego had a team.
Well, they actually have one they kept. So it sucks to see the Chargers lose in overtime on Sunday.
That's our major league, for anyone out there who didn't get the quote.
Yeah, I got it.
What were we talking about before we hit record? Something about Star Wars.
Oh, I finished Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah. Well,
let's just a quick commercial break.
That's what it was.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And my favorite commercial was Dr. Death.
That was your favorite commercial?
Dr. Death. That's from Mr. Mom. I remember that's who that's from the one with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
Overboard?
Overboard. Yeah, the kid reading the comic book, that's who he's into, Dr. Death.
Hmm.
You know what? I just saw a trailer for an Amazon original. It had to do with a comic book. It's called Utopia. Have you guys heard about this?
Utopia. No, I have not.
Oh, is that where they've got a different?
No. It's like a dark comedy, like horror, I guess. But the premise that I got from the trailer was there's this comic book that predicts the future of like pandemics and like crazy shit happening in the world.
Huh.
And there is some like organization of people that once they identify someone who has seen the book or the comic, they fucking kill them. And there's this group of people, like these ragtag group of people that I think one of their leaders might be Rainn Wilson.
Okay.
but they're determined to bring this book to the light of day to help save people. But there's like this faction of people that just murder you if you've seen the book. It's definitely The Boys type of gore and kind of like take on gore, but no superheroes. It looks interesting.
I finished episode 2 of The Boys, but yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
I do need to watch the third episode. I haven't watched it yet.
Isn't there four out or five out now?
I think the first chapter of the book, it reads, please wear a mask.
whatever episode came out this past Friday, I haven't watched yet.
I like this one.
I know you died because you're wearing a mask. You must have read the book.
It's got the very end of this newest episode, Chris. It's got a very interesting sex scene at the very end that is it's very different.
Different from the first season?
Different from the one of him like having sex with himself?
That was in episode, yeah. Like, there's another, because I mean, that was weird too, but you know, it's doppelganger, though. Yeah, that's weird. This one is a different kind of
sex scenes, guys. Come on.
Yeah. But yeah, this one's I wasn't quite sure so far with this season of The Boys if I was going to like it or not, because I really liked the first season. And then this one's I think this last episode, I'm kind of like, okay, now I'm kind of back on board with it. So
the acting, I love the acting and the new character they have. The I don't want to spoil anyway. She's actually Storm? Pretty good.
Storm, yeah,
yeah. I think it's her name.
Stormbreaker, right? Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
What a great show. I think it's the show that nobody knew they wanted, but everybody actually found out they needed, because it's one of
those. But it has. It has so many what the fuck moments.
Yeah,
I was saying last week the first episode has that. I seriously did not see it coming. It's like, you know, not as big as the first one, the first season, where it's kind of sets up the whole. Because I think Chris, you were the one that started watching and said it has.
That was like the biggest what the fuck moment I've saw in television.
And right when it happened, I go, "That's what Chris was talking about." Okay, got it.
It was kind of like a Meet Joe Black, but way more gory.
It's been like, you know, when my parents were up here, when we came back from Wyoming, my parents don't get Amazon. So I was like, oh, Dad, you got to watch The Boys. You're going to like it. You know, and I think we got two or three episodes into the first season and he was totally hooked. And moms are going like, I don't like this. It's all gory. And blah, blah, blah. So we had to turn it. And it was like, and my dad's over like pouting like a little kid, like, oh, yeah, watch The Boys. Like, you know, and I was like, okay, we can watch Cobra Kai. And then my mom really liked that, so we watched all of Cobra Kai. But it's just like, he's over there looking at me like, I want to watch The Boys.
When did season 3 come out of Cobra Kai?
2021.
Not until 2021?
They filmed it last fall. That's what's crazy about it. But I think it's because of COVID, and they're not sure when they can film season 4. They're trying to stretch it out a little bit. So like, they're like, oh, we'll debut it fucking in spring COVID. Of 2021.
I'm and then standing we'll by my prediction.
I think so, too. I wrote another...
And for the record, I fucking said that the second it started going down, and you got the text message or the Facebook message.
I think it's confirmed.
From the previews, though, that we've seen, that this is actually taking quite a bit of time in the future. Season 3 is from the ending of season 2.
And so they're combining Back to the Future and Cobra Kai?
Well, it's just that it's not immediately picking up at the end of season 2 like it was. But Daniel is going to be in Okinawa a lot this season, so it's not going to be like the confrontation that we would like to see with Allie and Daniel and Johnny. So I think a lot of it's going to. I think Daniel is going to have his own thing somewhere in Japan, while maybe Allie and Johnny reestablish their connection or whatnot, or maybe it's going to be Johnny taking over Miyagi-Do. You don't know. Like, it could go anywhere, really.
Well, according to some, Johnny should have been with Allie the whole time. Right.
Yeah.
Well, according to Johnny,
because Daniel was
he's the bad guy.
He's the bad guy. Yeah. But I mean, I'm interested to see, like, because I think a lot of people are more rooting for Johnny and Carmen to get together more than Allie, because Carmen's a fucking fox.
Yeah. Maybe maybe Allie would be more like Kate from Lost and just fuck everything up all the time.
Maybe.
Maybe. Oh. So my background here, Lost, I was on this Lost rewatch with Jack, and it was a lot of fun, and I wanted to mention, yeah, but we had to cover 3 episodes, you know.
That's true. So, and Back to the Future 4, written by
I did put that out there. But one of the things that I noticed about Some Like It Hoth is that you know, as Jorge is proposing his idea of Empire Strikes Back, you know, he's rewriting it or what have you. He says to Miles, because he's trying to get Miles to grow a heart about his dad. He says, well, you know, if Luke would have just talked to his dad instead of like fighting, then he wouldn't have like got, you know, his hand cut off. And I'm like, wait, no, he gets his hand cut off and then he finds out that he's his dad. Like, there's no like, hey, let's talk it out, Dad. Or you told me that you're my dad, and then I fight you. And right. So it's kind of like one of those like odd moments where I'm like, yeah. Did the writers, like the writers know Star Wars? You know that they know Star Wars, but they just flubbed that, or I don't know.
There's a lot of weird. It's like, you know, Vader's just chilling on Cloud City. You know, he's just waiting for. I mean, you know, on Bespin, he's just waiting for him. And then what does Luke do? Luke walks right up to him and just pulls out the lightsaber.
Yeah,
I mean, Vader's just hanging out. Like, he's
come on, bitch!
I'm ready to fight. And he's like, Vader's kind of like, what the heck?
All of Luke's early moments in that fight is like all aggression. Mm-hmm. Like, he's the one that ignites first. He's the one that strikes first. And
so Luke is the bad
guy. First, strike hard, no mercy.
Luke is the bad guy.
So Luke's the bad guy.
That's where it was originally going, Jack. Like, I mean, I know Matt and I really talked about this before, but you know, when Gary Kurtz was the producer, that's where it was heading. It was that Luke was going to turn bad, and you know,
at the end of Han, Return of the Jedi.
At the end of Return of the Jedi, and because there was going to be another trilogy where. Because Leia was never supposed to be his sister.
Yeah, there was and another sister that was off somewhere else.
Somewhere else. And Leia was going to be the one that really does everything.
What's that?
Did he kiss her too, the other sister?
Probably. That's just the way it goes, man. You got to keep the line pure with the midichlorians.
So I know Nick and I, we've been rewatching the despecialized versions. I was actually subjecting my kids to it. I mean, they like it. They like certain parts of the despecialized because it's not the first time I've played them an uncut version. But it's funny because there's a part where, you know, Vader says no and picks up the Emperor, you know, and it's added.
Right.
So my kids are like, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. And then of course in this version he doesn't say it. Yeah, yeah. And they're like. Yeah. They're like, yay, he didn't say it. They also
why did they add that in?
I think to make
a connection to Revenge of the Sith and the whole like, no, you know, like he busts exactly. free and finds
someone out screams no in every episode.
Have you ever met anybody that liked it?
No. I mean, it's the same thing as, you know, putting the young Hayden Christensen in the end as well. It's like, no, just leave him the way it was.
Yeah.
Especially him.
The one thing that my daughter pointed out that I never had picked up on and that they did legitimately go through and fix is when Luke takes his mask off and you see Anakin for the first time, in the original uncut version, his eyebrows are black. They are like dark.
They're gone. They're gone.
And they're gone. They're like
he's egghead.
Yeah. I like the idea that he did have eyebrows that were black. And he just dyed them. That's the only hair he has.
Yeah, so he just took it off. He's like, I got to keep the looks, you know.
Yeah, like one day Padme is going to come back, and I'm going to have like these great eyebrows.
Yeah,
eyebrows. Can I say something though? Aren't helping him.
No, that scar is not going. No matter what,
he's pasty white. I mean, he's worse than Jay. So anyway.
He's well fed, though.
Yeah, sure.
He's a bit poorly. For someone that has to eat off a feeding tube, probably.
Yeah, he's the one that's saying Obi-Wan got old, but dude, is not looking much better.
Well, Obi-Wan stayed fed because he lived in the desert.
You do wonder like how he went number two or number one, really? You know,
because vacuum
like, you
know, tubes.
Yeah,
he used the
vac tube.
No, he just used the force.
But I was saying before we hit record, I rarely watch Star Wars. I've seen times I usually just listen to it because I know what's going on. But because of the specialized, I actually watched it, you know, and like little things that you pick up on that, you know, that just like, oh, I didn't realize that until, you know, like in Empire Strikes Back, for example, when Luke's leaving to go to Bespin and, Obi-Wan are talking. He's like, you know, no, there is another. The first thing you see is Leia. And you're like, oh, that's a nice little, I don't know if it was intentional, but it's a nice little like, oh, that's the other. Mm. And there was another one I noticed. Oh, it's like another from Empire Strikes Back. It's like Vader, the whole time they're pursuing Han and the Millennium Falcon, Vader's just, you know, determined to get them. They go through the asteroid field and all this. And there's a scene where Admiral Piet is saying, you know, from the amount of damage we've sustained, they must be destroyed. And Vader just dismisses it. He's like, you know, no, they're alive. And I always thought that was weird. He's like, how does he know? And it's because he's picking up a Force-sensitive person who he thinks is Luke on the Falcon, but really it's Leia. And you're like, oh, man, like just things that you don't really, really as a kid think about until like you're trying to put it all together.
Were there farms on that planet? Because I just see a lot of dirt.
Tatooine?
Yeah, with their
farmers. They're moisture farmers. Those little towers that are outside the home.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
They harness all the moisture from the air because that water is the biggest thing of value on Tatooine.
Okay. Yeah, where did Obi-Wan get his food? He lived in a cave and nobody saw him, right?
And if you notice, Luke at the end of Empire says, Tatooine. He doesn't say Tatooine. He says Tatooine.
So what does he know? Han. He's a tiny little kid.
That was before the Star Wars encyclopedias were being written. They just fucking read what they saw on a piece of paper.
It's all over the first one, Star Wars, where everybody's like, Princess Leia.
Yeah.
It's like, you just acted like you guys are BFFs and you're calling her Leia? Like, who?
Well, he had a crush on her right when he saw her in when R2-D2 popped out the message. He's like, whoa.
Yeah, he did.
And he goes, because they cut out the scene where he goes, I'd like to see her in a slave outfit.
I think that you're thinking of the line where he says, all I've seen is my aunt, Beru.
She's hot. Well, she's burnt.
She's smoking hot. She's smoking
hot. So I'll tell you the spice farmers. I'll tell you the I finished watching the Clone Wars, and I have a new favorite character until I see more of Thrawn.
Heck yeah.
And that is Darth motherfucking Maul.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go Ahsoka. Okay.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Ahsoka too, right? But Darth Maul was just...
Isn't it great? Yeah.
So good. Like, the story was just so great.
I think... sorry. I just wanted to leap on it. Yeah.
No, don't spoil anything. I'm on season one of Rebels now.
No, it's just... That's, you know, Clone Wars and Rebels... gave a lot of closure to a lot of fans who loved the Maul in episode one. And it's just like, yes, this is what we wanted. You know, just a really cool, conflicted Darth, you know, a dark force user.
Well, I mean, Filoni truly just created a character. And you think about it, because Darth Maul had like one line of dialogue in episode one.
Yeah.
It lost.
You know? and it was just there was no depth to him whatsoever, other than just being completely badass and like really cool looking. Mm-hmm. Like that's all you got, and you got like a double bladed lightsaber.
Yep.
But that was it. Like, so there's no like real depth to the character at all. And the storylines that they put together for Darth Maul in Clone Wars is just fucking rad. And obviously you can go to you get to see like his brother, right? Savage Opress, which mm-hmm. is like just such a really cool fucking like side story, but kind of shows like a lot of his motivations and stuff that like of things that happened afterwards.
And they try to gang up and destroy the Emperor too. Like that whole storyline. Yes. I mean, like I loved that. Like watching that go down, it's like, yeah, that would totally make sense. Like Maul is out for any type of revenge, you know, mm-hmm. and from the people that slighted him. Obi-Wan, the Emperor, and whoever this new guy is.
You know, what's funny too is that I didn't realize that I was in the final season. You know, I get kind of caught into the wormhole of just the next episode, you know.
Right.
And it was funny because I started realizing the art direction changed ever so slightly in the season. I was like, why does Anakin look awesome. So like, I don't know, old? Or like smoother, like, and I'm like, and why is he talking? Where is he? I'm like, oh fuck, this is when he becomes Darth fucking Vader. Like it's happening in the background. Like this is actually really cool. Like you realize like how like, not become Darth Vader, but you have the beginnings of him to you know turning on the Jedi and signing the Emperor and stuff and killing what's his name, Dooku.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was just really cool because you start picking up on these things where they intertwine that episode, like that last season specifically gets really intertwined with other you know, Star Wars stuff, like other movies and such. And even Solo, like, and Nick, I think I texted you or I messaged mm-hmm. you and Matt. There's that one scene where it's like, hey, wait, is that the scene that we saw in the Solo movie?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, cool. you see the guy that plays Vision, you know, he's there and then crap. Matt would know the name. you have Crimson Dawn and have
all the families, the crime
black sons, you know, and like all the you know, but you have the crime families there, and you're like, oh, that's so cool. Like they're showing, you know, trying to be as accurate as possible,
and like the subtle references to like where Anakin was or where Obi-Wan was. It was like, oh, he's off doing this, which is like, oh, fuck, that's from the movie. Like he's in the middle of some shit right now.
Well, I mean, hell, even things that like I know Matt and I talked about, like things that I liked were I'm sorry, Jack. I know you didn't watch any of this.
But no, like, this is great.
It's like there's that scene in the hologram scene where Ahsoka is talking to Mace Windu and Yoda and all that, and you're talking about things that are going on. And if she just would have waited just a few more minutes, then you would have seen Anakin pop up in, because that's the same exact same scene from Episode 3. And you're like, this is so, like, it's the same conversation. Yes. Like, that's so cool.
Yes. And it's kind of cool how, like, it kind of also told the story about why you don't see Ahsoka in the original movies. So they kind of, like, wrote their way out of that a little bit, right? Because she was kind of, like, exiled and just wasn't in the picture, and she's off doing her own shit and doesn't come back into the picture until well after the prequels.
Well, and she leaves the Order. I mean, she, you know, it's like she's exiled from the Order. She does, you know, basically earn her way back, but they're also like, she's basically at that point like, see ya.
Yep. Yeah. So I thought they did a really, really cool, nice job. Like, kudos to, and I'm definitely, you know, well behind on that show, and then people have been watching it forever, but Filoni did a phenomenal job of writing that in without having it be like abrasive to the story, kind of like just interlaced with everything. And it adds a whole 18 different dimensions to Star Wars, which I think is really, really cool.
And you should, I mean, I don't know if you'll ever get around to watching it again, Chris, but I have a list of how you should actually watch it, like in order chronologically. And it's so much better. Like, you pick up on so many things that you're just like, oh my God. Like, you don't pick up on a lot of stuff until you watch it when it's in order. And you're like, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well done.
But yeah. Filoni's great. And that's who I really wish, you know, because there's rumors going around that Lucas may come back, you know, for a few years after Kathleen Kennedy's contract expires. But yeah, if that doesn't come true, I really want Filoni to take over as Lucas Films.
Yeah.
If he's even up for it. He might just want to stay as a creative director. Who knows?
Yeah. How many episodes are there a season?
It depends. 20? Yeah, like 20? Season 6 and season 7 are really short.
Yeah, they're shortened. So
yeah, but and all the episodes are like 22, 3 minutes
long. You can knock it out pretty quick.
So it's like a sitcom.
It's a cartoon. Like, so it's, you know, it's
I mean that.
Yeah. I mean, there's like Frasier's there, mm-hmm. Kramer's there. Mm-hmm. All the ERs are there.
Jerry, what's to do with Darth Vader?
Norm is a disaster at the Force.
Yeah, he's just over.
Everywhere they go, Norm! Darth Vader, Norm!
I'm just imagining Costanza would probably die within the first, like, you know, because he would be working for Vader. Angry. And Vader would just
He's like a cockroach.
Yeah, he would somehow survive.
Costanza would be Jar Jar. Jar Jar.
Where everybody knows your name, you shall go.
Who'd be Yoda?
Coach.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
It's Tony Coach.
Oh, fuck.
That would make Woody baby Yoda.
So, yeah, I guess. Yeah,
not to keep talking about Star Wars, so I'll change it a little bit. But like,
Well, actually, Jack's background is very Star Wars, you know.
I can't see it. I just see
the red and the visor.
But before we jump off this point, though, can we just address the fact that it just sounded like Jack was relenting and potentially would want to be interested in listening to or watching more Star Wars content?
He does want his lifelong dream is to be on Owen and Bruce. So.
To be fair, I love Star Wars, but I just don't know what you're talking about. So I'm listening.
Yeah. You're gonna like Rebels though, Chris. Like season one, like I said, season one can be a little bit of a struggle to get through.
Yeah, but I am struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah, but after there's a certain episode, and once you get past that, you're like, okay, now I'm into it. Yeah,
I'm in like the second episode of the Inquisitor? I think mm-hmm. his name is.
Yep.
Yeah, the
ending, the last three episodes are really, you know, like the story really starts to congeal, where you're like all these other little breadcrumbs are starting to kind of come together. Cool. So
it's good though. Cause you're going to love it. Cause you're going to see Maul. You're going to see Thrawn. You're going to see a lot of characters that you're like, yes, there he is.
So I don't know if I've mentioned this, but this is a nice way to button it up. But you know, for folks going back to work, I think that there's, you know, especially break rooms and break spaces in which you're, you know, people are commuting for lunch or whatever. It's kind of tough right now. So I actually prefer to not be at my work during my lunch. I like to get out mm-hmm. and walk around or do whatever. But now I sit in my car and watch fucking cartoons. but I found this awesome like way to do it, right? I actually, first of all, if you work in a place in which you have access to your car, try sitting in your car and eating lunch. It's actually one of the most peaceful and like things I've ever done, and it just disconnects
you. I used to do that as well.
I bought on Amazon, janejack.com/Amazon, a food tray that latches onto your steering wheel, and it's fucking incredible, dude. So you have to turn your wheel to the right, like 90, right? So you have the big opening of your steering wheel that just latches onto the bottom. You place your food or whatever, or your phone, and you sit there and eat and watch TV. It's awesome. So go to janejack.com.
You have roller skates on and come serve yourself? Is that?
Yeah. I'm going to find a picture of it now.
Oh, I'm already on it here for you. Oh, nice. So here we have
some, it's the one in the middle. The one in the middle I got.
The one in the middle right there.
You better hold your phone. Is that what it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Only
so you turn your steering wheel. So the big open part is on the bottom, and you can see how like the indents there will groove and grips on it right onto the steering wheel.
There
it is. It's awesome.
That also works
when you're driving because you're in the 10 and 2 position, right?
you can be on Facebook while you're driving. So yeah.
That's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, no,
it's a great tool to have if you're eating your lunch break in your car.
Doesn't look like it'd be too the whole thing for you got Dasani and water, a Coke and water.
Uh-huh. Dasani and water. It almost makes you feel like you're in an airplane.
Well, Dasani is
exactly owned by Coca-Cola. It feels like you're on an airplane.
Is there someone to make it get the full effect of the airplane? You need to get some kid behind you kicking your chair the whole time.
Yeah.
Or the guy that gets up, the guy that can't get up without pulling on the back.
I want to punch.
And then letting go, come on! Are you not realizing you're flinging me like 15 feet forward every time you do that?
Yeah.
Actually, the ones that pissed me off are the people, like, as soon as you get on the plane, they put their seat all the way back before you even take it off. Mm-hmm. And then the stewardess has to come by and go, like, can you put the seat back up? And they're like, oh, what? And it's just like, you know you can't have it down. And as soon as the dinger goes off, they slam it back down your legs, and you're like, I'm burning, you fucker.
But I like that because usually I'll put my computer on there, my laptop. If I know they're going to do that ahead of time, I wait till they do it before, because nothing's worse when they go thunk and your computer goes into your lap because they're so rude. I don't think any chair should recline. To be honest with you.
Yeah,
I don't recline the chair. If you're sitting behind me, you're going to be happy. Yeah. I don't recline because I think it's.
I do the same thing because as a tall person, basically like my knees go right to where that is. So if you're coming back, you're coming right on my knees, and I have very. That's it. Like, I'm like, great. Thank you.
I always pick aisle seats. People are always like, why do you get the aisle? I'm like, because I have long legs. And right. It's always like
I can stretch out a little
bit. Aisle is the best. Like I said, I usually don't. One time I did fall asleep on the plane and my head was in the, and they did hit me with the food cart.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I went, oh my God. Was there a sorry? No.
No. That's the one bad thing is that, if you're on the aisle, If you fall asleep or your legs are out and the food cart comes by, you're gonna get nailed, and they give zero fucks.
Well, I usually don't sleep even over the red eyes. I stay awake.
It's the only place in the world I can't sleep is on a fucking plane.
Yeah,
I can sleep one time,
and that was when I got smacked in the head. So
I fall asleep
standing up in the shower. I can't fall asleep in a goddamn.
There's
plane.
This thing called Jack TV. I usually just put the headphones on, hit play. Fall right to sleep. It's great.
Nice. It's crazy, Hank, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
There's actually
cover Jane Jack TV on Nudia.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's the Nudia channel. That's what I was
thinking. Well, there were plenty of shows you could fall asleep on that one.
but speaking of TV, before we get too far away, I mentioned to you on our group, private chat, and Jack responded. I have a list as long as my arm of things I need to watch. And so I finally was like, I need to watch this 11/22/63, which came out 4 years ago on Hulu.
Wow. Has it been that long?
Yeah, that was 2016 is when it came out.
I'm going to do a rewatch because
I. And It's only eight episodes, but it's phenomenal. I was like, how did this escape me so long ago that I think I
brought it up on this podcast.
Yeah, and I don't remember you messaging the group about this.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, okay.
But I watched the first episode. And I went, this is really interesting, you know. And then the second, I was like, it just, you know, and it just kept getting better because there's definitely a lot of humor. There's definitely a lot of nice moments, and then there's a lot of like just tense where you're just like, oh my god, you know. And so it's a good balance of just.
Did you ever crush on one of the actresses?
Oh my god, that's the most beautiful woman I think I've seen in the longest time. I just couldn't get over how beautiful she was, and how is she not a famous actress by now? It's like because
wow, where has she been?
I was like, yeah, she's Canadian. That's why.
I remember just like, wanting to hate on James Franco.
I was like, you get to kiss that? Oh my god. The way she looks up at him with those doe eyes all the time, she's like, oh my god, she's gorgeous. anyway, yeah.
Anyway, why Nicholas
Randy, it's on Hulu. What?
It's on Hulu, Randy. Randy is asking what 11/22/63 is on.
Yeah, so it's really good.
You were in the one where they redid Lincoln. And you were playing the James Franco character. You just said, fuck it, let him die. Right?
I just would have grabbed the girl and got the hell out of there.
you grabbed Mary Lincoln?
Yeah, Mary Todd, man. She was crazy. I like the crazy one.
I think she moved in next to Matt. Killed her family.
I never claimed that anybody killed anybody at
the No, but that's what happened.
We're all claiming that. They probably died tuberculosis and they chunked him in the backyard.
You know? That's what I'm saying. Like
that's what you do. That's what you do when your family dies. You just go, I lived, they died.
But I do highly recommend 11/22/63 for everyone who has not seen it out there listening. It's a great show. It's only eight episodes and you'll be entertained all the way from the beginning to the end.
It was really good. The worst part was I watched it. I had to wait each week because it was Hulu. I was like, why did I wait until this ended and then start watching it?
Yeah, I remember you complaining about that. So I kind of waited until it was ending so I could start it that way. Because I remember you talking about it. You were like, oh, this is great. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to wait.
It was a good complaint because it was so, because sometimes shows you go, okay, I can wait a week.
Yeah.
This was like, I got to wait a week.
That lost effect, so yeah. It leaves you wanting more. So,
but it Nick is right. It's excellent. If you haven't seen it, check it out. I can't believe it's been 4 years though.
4 years, yeah. Because I mean, as, you know, when they always ask him like, "What time are you from?" He's like 2016, and I'm like, "Oh." And then you look up, I was like, "Yeah, it came out 2016." Yeah. Like, God,
he's like, right before the shit went to the fan.
Franco, let's be honest, James Frank, he's hit or miss.
Right? That's what I'm saying. Because I think that's what
you want to hate him so much too, and then you're just like. It's good.
I've never thought much about it. There's only one scene where he's not believable, and it's the very last episode when something really bad happens and he's crying, and you're like, I don't feel it, man. Like, if this meant this much to you, you would be freaking out right now. And it's, yeah, but great show. Yeah. Even I welled up a little bit, did not full on cry, but I welled up.
Dude, Lee Harvey Oswald's character was fucking awesome.
He nailed the accent. I mean,
amazing.
So good. Yeah.
Who's easier to hate on is James Franco's younger brother.
Yeah. Well, he married Alison Brie.
That's who he's married to. I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I
don't either. Yeah, exactly.
Because he was in Scrubs too. This
he was in the Scrubs, the reboot class or whatever, which was awful. Like,
I didn't think it was awful. It wasn't as good as the original, but
they're in college, and there's episodes in which like some people aren't there, and you're like, are they still married? Who are like what?
Yeah, but I don't get him and Alice. I don't get it.
No, neither.
I just didn't like what they did there with Scrubs. So I know they were trying to keep it going, but I hated that.
That's another show I got to rewatch.
It had its moments, but yeah, like once JD's gone, it's just like.
Yeah, and by the way, like I remember watching it back in the day. I didn't remember all of the sex. Like there's a lot of sex in that show. Like they're basically like they're either killing someone, saving someone, or having sex.
Dr. Cox,
so it's like Grey's Anatomy.
or there was the bromance between JD and Turk. Right. But that's about
every person I know that's a nurse or a doctor says that Scrubs is actually the most accurate show of like what happens in a hospital.
It's like waiting for healthcare. The waiting is the best movie that describes and encapsulates food service industry. Scrubs is that way for hospitals.
Waiting is definitely a movie that you either know it or you don't know it, and it's exactly if you've been a waiter ever and you watch Waiting, it's dead on.
It's literally exactly what happens.
The scene where the female waitress is like just in the backstage in the back. Where the cooks are just yelling at them like, hurry the fuck up, get your shit together. Like, oh yeah. And then she takes 5 feet out into the floor. She's like, hey, would you like a refill on that nice to both? Like, that's exactly what it's like, where you're just, you know, a complete asshole to one people and then completely fake to another.
Yeah.
It's just perfect.
Can I say, like Sherry sent you those videos. I've never been a doctor or nurse or, you know, but I understand. I got Scrubs right away. I was able to laugh and understand it.
Great. Yeah.
I don't want to keep bringing that up.
Chuck's another show that doesn't get enough credit, you know, that was good.
Well, Chuck died, though.
Chuck
literally died towards the end. It was.
Oh, it did, because they didn't have the money. They didn't have the money.
No, like, the last season and a half was just unwatchable.
Yeah, but you noticed that, like, the first two seasons are really good, and even the third season is good, but like, as they kept losing money because they never got the viewers, they had to cut characters out. They had to cut, like, so much stuff out that they couldn't.
Yeah, and it ruined the first three seasons. It's great.
It's great, yeah.
But seasons four.
I'm just glad they got to finish it, though.
I stopped watching it. I gave up. I said, I can't do it anymore. This show's terrible.
Quitter.
I said, no, I'm not even going to go to Subway. Fuck them.
So a somewhat doctor-related show that I've been watching, and I remember when it came out, and I remember trying to watch it.
Doctor Who?
Nope, none of those doctors.
Welby, Marcus Welby.
Dr. Lahiri, The Mindy Project. So I was like, I'm going to give this show another chance. I like Mindy Kaling, you know, from The Office, and, you know, she's a really funny writer, but for whatever reason, like, it never really gelled with me. And so I pushed through because I just was like, okay, first seasons of any comedy are rough. So maybe this will get better. And it did. I felt like that they changed around the cast a bit. They changed around some different aspects. And by season two, I'm laughing at episodes left and right. And there is some really funny and very smart writing. I think there was an episode very, like, in the middle of season one where, like, the opener was like a classic Office opener where it just kind of leaves you like, what? That's hilarious. Like, just on its own, it can just stand on its own as a little nugget of comedy. And that was when I was like, okay, I'm sticking with this show. I'm gonna keep going. And I just want to say, like, a number of guests and other comedians and actors that you see in other sitcoms, there's just, it's like a melting pot, you know, you're like, oh, that's he's in this show. And oh, that's It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia guy. And, you know, it just, they keep popping up, you know, very funny comedians. Kevin Smith makes a couple cameos. It's just like, so if you've ever tried it or watched it and gave up on it, like I did, you know, push through. I think there's some definite, like, golden moments there. I'm not done with the show, which is exciting to me because it's like, it's a comedy show that's new to me, even though it's definitely dated in some ways. It's like, oh, remember the Obama years? It's a little bit more lighthearted in some areas where you're like, huh.
It's almost sad how a show has a bad first season.
Mm-hmm.
But then like Parks and Rec, the first season was just terrible and I gave up on it. But people were like, you gotta go back and watch it. And it was good after. I mean, if you just take away the first season and start the first season, second season, make that the first season, it's probably a bigger hit than it was. You know, it had a cult following, but it was the people who said, fuck, that was just terrible. I can't go back and watch that. So it's a shame that they can't, because comedies are hard anyway. Any show is hard. You have to get that. You only have like two or three episodes to grab an audience, if that.
Right.
Yeah.
Probably now it's like one episode because there's so much to watch on TV.
Seinfeld suffered from it too.
Yes, it
struggled because it kept moving around the time slot.
Yeah, it was never like they'd skip it for a couple of weeks, or it'd be on like Thursday, it'd be on Tuesday. They kept moving around. I go, why don't we give the show a chance? But luckily, they kept it. you know, like even MASH. MASH first season did not do well in the ratings. I think even All in the Family was struggled at first too. I mean, but it was different times back then though, because there's only three channels. Now you have Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, and all these other channels, Apple, and all Disney Plus. That it's like, ah, this show sucks. I can go on to something else.
And really, MASH, like those first three seasons are so good. Like when you rewatch it,
it's brilliant. Yeah. And it's just like, but the first season, it just struggled until they moved it, I think, from Saturday to Monday night. I think that's when it. Hmm. I was going to say I started watching Schitt's Creek because talking about it, I watched the first episode.
Perfect timing for the Emmys.
I wanted to watch more, but my daughter has gotten into the Brady. My daughter's gotten into the Brady. She goes, Brady Bunch. So I have to switch to the Brady Bunch. As she said, she really just likes the theme song. Yeah. And then she'll watch like 5 minutes of it. Then she goes and walk away.
She should watch the podcast.
So then I start watching. Then I go back and she goes, comes back, goes, Brady Bunch. I go, okay, all right, go back to Brady Bunch. And yeah, then Marsha. Then I got to watch it to see. I go, I can't remember how this ends. So then I got to watch it.
Fucking freeze! No way, move! I swear, I'm killing Bobby. They're like, oh shit, I gotta see.
Why kill Bobby?
Because Bobby can't look right in the camera.
No, it's Pete. It's Peter.
Peter, yeah, you're right.
Bobby's too Peter small.
Had some of Chris's chewables, edibles. He went,
sorry, looking at
chewables. Sorry, wow, man.
But speaking of
MASH, my dad. I don't know.
Speaking of MASH, even though there's a few like little like time jokes in the show 11/22/63. Like, it was one of my favorite ones was James Franco's talking to a guy about something. He goes, oh, you in the service? And he's like, yeah, I was in Korea two tours, like just kind of lying. And the guy's like, oh, what division were you in? And he kind of looks at me, he thinks about it, and he goes, MASH 7/22, yeah, like whatever the MASH was, that's what he said.
7/7.
Yeah, 4/7/7. You know, it's like, oh my god, it's brilliant.
He cuts off his arm.
What?
I'm sorry, wrong show.
Wrong show.
Well, I don't want to cut the show, but I am going to cut it in for an ad break. We like to fit. We like to slide two. It's like a two for two.
I wonder where I can get a TV tray so I can take breaks in my car.
Best idea ever.
Can I just go in my driveway and do it?
Just pick a number. Stop
talking for 1 second so I can
put the ad break right now.
Got it.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay.
So if you didn't buy that shit, go over to janjack.com/Amazon. Get your TV tray for your TV tray. Your food tray for your truck or car.
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
I should say though, Schitt's Creek did have me hooked right away.
Oh, good.
It's actually got some funny parts right away.
Oh yeah,
I have no idea had no idea what the show was about. I said, okay, it's winning all these awards. Mm-hmm. My daughter says, you gotta watch Schitt's Creek. It's so funny. I mean, everyone keeps talking about it, so I started watching. I go, so I'm laughing. Of course, every time I laugh, my granddaughter would come over and change it to Brady Bunch.
That's what I was going to say about like comedies. So like one of my favorite comedies, which I know I've said before, is a BBC show called Coupling. It was only on from 2000, 2004. And you're right. Like season one of that show, I think has the best writing in it. But it's, you know, the characters haven't found themselves yet. You know, it's all new to them. And it's, to me, it's the stiffest of the four seasons. But it's still very good. But if you just watch it on the pilot alone, you probably wouldn't continue to watch the show. It's just like, you know.
I think there's more pressure on these writers and showrunners, everyone involved to, obviously you're not going to get a Lost where Lost was like a movie.
Yeah.
Right. But it is funny though. You watch a show, go, maybe if it has an actor you like, you'll give it another week or so. But like I said, there's so many choices. You just go, it's almost like we go back to talk about The Boys. Mm-hmm. I said the first 5 minutes I was hooked just because of that one scene. You're like going,
oh yeah, yeah.
oh my God, I got to keep watching.
I love Billy Joel.
With Schitt's Creek, that was one of those shows that the character Moira did not. I didn't really connect with her.
Did I say I'm only on my first episode?
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, though, Matt.
Well, we did have a listener like write in as I mentioned.
I'm just giving you. I'm just giving you.
Years ago, and I was like, "Oh yeah, you guys should watch it," but you know, whatever. So
I remember you talking. I remember everyone said you got to watch it, and I was like, "I don't have time. I got to watch the Brady Bunch."
Moira's character grows on me the first season. Okay, fine. Fuck it. No, Schitt's Creek. Good job.
No, I'm just listening to Jack's sentence structure there. Like, I can't watch Schitt's Creek. I've got to watch the Brady Bunch. No one ever except Jack.
I do notice the Brady Bunch that the kids, like the boys, all wear like floods. Like, there must have been no money for the show. These kids are wearing, it's like whatever they wore in season one, they're wearing the same clothes in season two. I go, come on, this is a network TV show. Why am I seeing so much socks? I mean, it's like, was there a flood happening? I mean, I know what happens in Matt's backyard with all the dead bodies, but
no,
we
never flooded back there.
Allegedly. So, no, I'm just saying, if you watch the Brady Bunch, it's like, okay, why is Bobby's shorts, pants look like shorts? Anyway. And one scene, they're mowing the backyard.
Marshall. Oh, yeah, that makes no sense.
And it's turf.
Yeah, it's clearly turf.
And she's mowing it. I'm like going, all right, this is not even believable, guys. Come on. Can we just get some grass out here? And I know that means something else to Chris, but you're on mute, Chris. You're on mute. You're on mute.
I was just thinking, where does the closet like Brady Bunch aficionado go for like to have like discussions about the Brady Bunch? It's right here. it's right here at the Ramblecast.
Oh, that was when I was a kid. It was a big deal. You know, along with the Partridge Family. You kids just don't know. You don't know.
We know.
And the monkeys.
Yeah, the monkeys.
What's crazy to me is like when you don't realize it about time when you're in it. You know, you think like, oh my God, Cheers is the greatest show ever made, or you know, whatever, something like that. And then, but now I really see that like that clear divide somewhere around the year 2000, like everything before 2000 and everything after 2000 of like how sitcoms and how TV just completely changed.
Well, from the 60s to 70s.
Yeah.
You had Green Acres, Bewitch, Genie, and then it went to All in the Family and Mom.
You call me a bewitch?
You're a bewitch. I always liked Elizabeth Montgomery. Just saying, I might have had a small
crush. Yeah, no, I
know. We've talked about this before, though. It's things like Friends, which was a phenomenon at the time. I don't even think would be successful today. It's just like it is what it was, and I'm not knocking it, but I just don't think if it debuted today, no one would even pay attention.
They'd have to spice it up. I mean, it'd have to be a different edge to it, because back then it was a little edgier.
But Joe was making meth and he's on the run from the cops.
No, it'd be who'd you say was on meth?
Joey.
No, it'd be Chandler.
Oh yeah, Chandler.
That's he literally was on the cocaine. You look how skinny he is in like seasons like 1 through 4 or 5, and like how fat he got because he got off the game.
Wait, what's with the haircut? You know,
I think that is the one thing about the sitcom that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia does wonderfully is it takes these, you know, archetypes and it just crushes them up. And you can see that from the first season on. It's just like, you know, whatever trope or whatever thing, they're going to blow it up hell, they try to buy crack in one of the early ones. That's a very famous one.
Like the Million Dollar Baby one. I love that one.
She gets strung out on like bodybuilding,
amphetamines on something. They're all like, yeah, I will mess you up.
And eventually, like the girl she's fighting. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but it's called Million Dollar Baby for a reason. So,
I mean, there's so many. I love just all the insults it they throw at it each. I mean, it's kind of like what we do every week. You know, it's just how mean can we get? You know, it's just like when Mac is in the bathroom and the ostrich comes in. It's just, ah! He's like, D, will you shut the hell up? It's just an ostrich. Or like Frank being naked inside the couch, you know, and he cuts it out.
Oh, yeah.
What the heck? This is insane.
Well, you mentioned Million Dollar Baby, and I like the Office episode where they're discussing if she's hot or not. What's her name? What's the actress's name?
Oh,
Hilary Swank.
Hilary Swank. Is she hot or not? And the whole show basically centers on is she hot or not.
I think that's actually a good debate because, like, you know, next Karate Kid, she's attractive in it. The one where she plays like the transsexual, like that one, you're kind of like, what happened? You know, because like they're doing it on purpose. And then like she can be really attractive. And then sometimes you're like, man, like what they do? It's just that's hair and makeup, you know, like.
Is she hot or not? I mean, I don't want to get in that conversation now because I don't want to be sexist. But, you know, you got to.
Sure is.
What?
But even the Brady Bunch, though, is because I know I've talked about Cheers. How could they do a lot of the Cheers jokes now, especially with Rebecca? I don't think you could do that because it's literally she's sexually harassed on every episode. But even the Brady Bunch, Mike Brady, he's the typical 60-70 dad where, you know, the women are just stupid. If you listen to him, he says a lot of things. You go, ooh, he couldn't get away with that joke. He couldn't get away with that comment. You know, women are, you know, anyway, I don't want to get into it, but it's just the way shows were back in the 60s and 70s, but there's no way it'd fly today.
Right.
But, you know, it's funny as rewatch the Brady Bunch, and I don't know if you guys saw the Brady Bunch movies, and you remember the scene.
it all comes back to the Brady Bunch, Jack.
It does, because there's a scene where Jan wears the wig. But the movie, she has the giant afro. It's just, you see where they took the scene, like the scene where Mike has the stupid, he's the architect and he's always stuck in the 70s with the drawings, with his models. Anyway, if you seen the movies? Have you seen the Brady Bunch movies?
I saw one, I think, long time ago.
Oh my God, they're so funny because if you watch the show to the movies, it's hilarious. Whoever did that, great job. But anyway, Matt, you had a comment?
Matt walked away, everybody.
Matt, you have a comment? Matt.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, like, it's like, what's her name? The one that's in the labyrinth. What's her name? Jennifer. Is it Jennifer?
In what show?
She was in the labyrinth with David Bowie. What's her name? If Matt was her, he'd know. Jennifer Connelly. Matt. Jennifer Connelly looked great. Her entire career.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
But like Hilary Swank's kind of the same way, is in like she probably started acting also in the late 80s. And, you know, I'm never saying like she's like a 10. I mean, not to judge her looks because she is an attractive woman, but like she has just stayed consistent, you know, like, which I think most of us would just wish, you know, if you were a solid 7 when you were 20 and then all of a sudden you're 50 and you're still a 7, I think that's a good goal to achieve, you know? Yeah, and like she's in that show Away Now, which is on Netflix, and it's not. I talked about it, I think in our after podcast last week. It's okay. They pull it together at the end, you know. But I was wanting the Martian type show because that's what it's about. It's about a trip to Mars, but it's more about like them and what made them and their families and what they're going through back on Earth. And you're kind of like, I don't want to watch this shit. I want to watch something about going to Mars. You know, but she's, I mean, she's still smoking hot. I have no idea how old Hilary Swank is, but she's still good
looking. I hate the people that get better looking as they get older.
Like George Clooney?
Yeah. Well, yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, you son know, of a bitch.
Because Rob Lowe, you know.
John Stamos.
Yeah, John. But Chad Lowe was married to Hilary Swank, Rob Lowe's brother.
Okay.
Just throwing it out there, Chad Lowe was married to, there you go. Not a big one. Oh, Matt's back. People were asking for you, Matt. Were people asking for Matt?
I couldn't think of Jennifer Connelly's name, and I needed you. I needed the producer to be here to tell me what the name was.
The producer said, no, I got to go take a piss, so I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Don't spoil it for people. Let them guess. Let them wonder. Like,
well, they know you got a small bladder, so they said, fuck it. You were doing this dance.
He's been back for like 1 minute. You're already hurting.
He was doing the pee dance. Then
we had more Brady Bunch talk in your absence.
Oh, great.
It all came back to it. Yeah.
Well, you've seen the movies, right, Matt?
The movies? The Brady Bunch movies? Nah, I don't. I maybe the first one, but I didn't. It was the late 90s. I was too busy.
Busy what?
I forget. I wouldn't say I watched like the reunion movie.
Digging up dead people.
I remember. It's been too long.
I'm not that morbid. Jeez.
You should be. Well, that's right. You're out.
But I'm the only one who's actually dug up a body. It's not fun.
Well, so then you should be in charge of this. We'll have Chris do the voiceover. I think that'd be perfect, right?
Yeah, I'm always having a face for radio.
Matt's fucking out. We're just going to use your house as a like, for breaks and stuff.
We'll bring our
trays that Chris got.
Craft services actually get set up in Matt's kitchen. Nope, in the attic. In the attic.
No, not our attic. We just got it done, so we're living up there now.
Yeah, well, that's it's a shame.
I was reading an interview with Alan Rickman a few days ago, and he was talking about that. It's like there was like a serious interview, and they're like, "If you could really in the movie industry be anybody, you know, director, producer, writer, actor, what would you be?" And he said, "Craft services." And they're like, "Why?" He's like, "Because then I could just eat all day and give, you know, give a shit." It's like, brilliant answer. I really miss Alan Rickman.
Oh, Matt sent us a message saying bathroom break. I just read the message.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you
– bathroom break.
I just was trying to be a little bit more discreet about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to read that out loud? Oh, private chat. Got it now.
Yeah, that's the private chat.
Took me a minute.
I was trying to keep it private. So,
well, you know what? Edit it out. You're the producer. It never happened. It never happened.
What, editing?
Do the Scooby-Doo ending.
I've got nothing else. I mean, I got to talk Star Wars, and you know, I talked about the indie.
I'm still just happy that it wasn't just me with 11-22-63 that was also Jack and Chris that had a massive crush on that girl, because like
I think everybody did.
And yeah, no, she was you know, very sweet.
And, I think you've seen it, Matt. Okay.
I've watched it. Okay. I was mentioning earlier when Jack was talking about, you know, how he watched it live. I waited until it was done so I could
watch it live. It was.
Well, the cool thing was there was a version of that girl that was closer to Jack's age, and there was a version of her that was closer to ours. It works out perfectly.
Yeah.
I was happy. It's okay. It's like a league of their own, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just like a league of their own. There's a Madonna that is younger, and then
Madonna. No manana.
I think there are people out there who haven't seen your boobs.
Yeah. They're making a TV show, League of Their Own.
I heard that, yeah.
Really?
I don't know why, but they're making
it. Yeah, it's one of those things that I can't, yeah. Whereas that's such a great movie, I can't see them having the success of the show. But you never know. I mean, it just depends on who writes it.
I would think it's going to be more serious. I would think it had to be more serious than, because League of Their Own had a lot of comedy in it.
Yeah.
Obviously. She's crying, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I didn't realize until a few years ago, because, you know, I don't know where any of those cities were growing up, that it's all roughly around Chicago, like that whole league was. And you're like, oh, they didn't have to go. But when I'm on the bus, I'm thinking they're actually traveling far. I'm like, oh, they're just going from there to there. I was like, it's not
that. Well, the scene where she has that big bruise from sliding.
Oh, my God. That strawberry. Yeah.
That was real.
Wow.
That was, she really did have that. That's why they kept it in there, because she had, that wasn't makeup. That was real.
You know, that hurt.
Can you imagine sliding in? Well, I used to slide in shorts.
Well, I can't imagine how badly that thing hurt when it scabbed over. I didn't know that was real. Like, oh, my God.
Well, imagine when it scabs over, though, and you're sleeping in your sheets, and your sheets are sticking to your
Yeah.
You got the pus there. I used to have it when I used to play baseball and softball. I would have just sliding and stuff like that. You'd have just cuts and bruises all over you. And then you get up, the sheets are like, oh, my God, the sheets are sticking to me. I'll wash them in a week. It's cool.
Yeah. Just speaking of that kind of stuff, like I rarely post anything.
Talk about that or the Brady Bunch.
Well, I rarely post anything on Facebook anymore.
We don't get raspberries on AstroTurf.
No, you can.
Sorry, I'm not. I won't bring it back to the Brady Bunch any more than that.
I like. I don't know if you guys. I like being the fly on the wall on pointless Facebook arguments that don't matter at all.
Sorry, I just removed Jack for no reason whatsoever. Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah. So there, better.
But I was watching it was a clip of I think a AAA team or something where a guy was rounding third and the catcher is clearly on the line on the runner's line and the ball's not in. He doesn't have the ball caught. You know, it's not even being thrown to the catcher yet. And the guy runs completely over the catcher. You know, and then gets the plate. And there's a run, you know, and just watching the argument back and forth of people, you know, saying that he was out. It's like, no, he's safe. He was like, you know, don't be on the tracks if the train's coming through and all that. I'm just like, all I'm thinking is like, I miss it when you could do that. Like, because to me, it's like,
I definitely did it.
I did it once to the third baseman. My coach started yelling at me. I'm like, he was blocking the bag.
Blocking the line, yeah. If he's on, to me, if you're on the line or blocking the bag, then you're fair game. You know.
Next time up, they purposely hit me with the pitch. I go, that's all you got. Ran down to first base.
Man, I'm like, hit me all you want. I'll get on base every time. I don't care.
One of my favorite stories of my dad actually has to do with this too. So he was my baseball coach when I was a kid 1 year, and he was on third. He's a third base coach. And the catcher on the other team was this big catcher for the league. You know, he was a bigger kid, and he would forcefully tag people like intentionally, like just try to like whack you with his glove. And we had this one, like the one scrawny kid that every little league baseball team had, you know, that one little pipsqueak kid. It was Jack in this case. The kid tagged him and fucking tossed him across the batter's box area. And I was rounding second, end up on third. And my dad's looking at me. He's like, "You staff infection." He goes, "If you get hit home or whatever, you just need to clear him out just completely." This is my dad telling me this. So I'm like, "Okay, Dad. Okay, Coach." And sure enough, I came around. I was the big kid on my team, and I just leveled this dude because he was by your melon. And I got called out. So.
Even back then.
Yeah.
I told y'all this story, didn't I? Like, so when I was a junior in high school, every now and then when you'd have freshman games that were just strictly usually for freshman players, you'd have some coaches who, like, they would tell the opposite team, like, hey, like, we've got a couple of guys that are older than freshmen to come play, so you're allowed to have, you know, the equal amount of, you know, upper high school people play on that freshman game. And so they had two juniors. And so they got me and another guy to come play on our team on this freshman game. And of course, you know, the vast difference between a freshman and then a sophomore, junior, or senior is just so vast. And this team had one good player and it was a wide receiver. And they put me out on a corner position on defense against this guy. And I couldn't run at all. I was never fast. So what I did was I was so much bigger than him, is that whenever the ball was snapped, I would just pop him on top of the helmet, and he would just crumble onto the ground. And, like, people were like, oh, my God, you can't do that. But I didn't hear no whistle. I didn't hear no flag.
It's legal until they call it.
Until they call it, yeah. And I just kept hitting the kid on top of the helmet because I didn't want to chase him downfield. So I just would hit him on the helmet, and he would just fall on the ground. And
that's maybe what Ryan Gosling should have done in the Titans. Remember the Titans?
Right. But that kid didn't, because like he was so scared of me every time he'd come to the line. Like after the first quarter, it was like he didn't score the entire game.
I would have taken your knee out.
Well, I mean, that would be a chop block for sure.
Right down with like my forearm and taking your knee out, you'd be done for the year. Keep hitting me in the head. I'm going to retaliate.
He wasn't that smart yet. Yeah, he's just a freshman.
Well, not smart that you have to pound him in the head, give him, he's probably got concussion syndrome, whatever it is, CTE or whatever it is. Yeah. Way to go, Nick. Way to ruin that guy's life because you couldn't run fast.
I can't run fast. Hey, I got to work. I got to do what works for me, you know?
And you guys give me shit because my friend next to me started a fight with an old man.
Well, then, so
why are you changing the story? your friend doing it. Yeah.
My friend who looked like me.
It's interesting that you bring that up because I'm actually starting a documentary about people that start fights.
Stop trying to fucking one up the awesome documentary that's in the works right now. The Patreon project.
You know, ours is Emmy Award. It's already won the award.
Oh, yeah.
It's already won the award because the idea is so good.
It's so good.
But good not any help from Matt.
We can even add, like, maybe there's some gold buried with it, or who knows, you know.
Well, they probably had gold there, right?
There's more likely, like, poison or, like, dumping, like, going on. And
oh, they're definitely poisoned. There's no way they died of tuberculosis.
No. I just mean in general.
I'm telling you, that's what happened.
Matt, you seem really against this documentary being made, I'm starting to get a little bit worried.
These murders might be a little bit fresher than before.
Is there something that we might uncover?
No,
I didn't think about that. Did you? There's DNA now, Matt.
Dude, this is season two.
So we're just
the killer is the end of season one, and we're ready to announce the killer. The killer is wait till season two. And you got Matt over in the corner like this, going.
he's the Princess Leia of that teaser.
Matt's dressed in a slave outfit the next.
No, that's Tim.
Yeah, that's Tim. Don't ever put me in a slave outfit. It's, by the way, you know, more appropriate. It's Hut Slayer. So she slays the hut.
It just makes me think now, like, just because you brought up
Tim. She's empowered.
That was what, 2010 when Tim did that? You imagine his wife, like, because he's probably, what, 40 something now. He's probably gained a few pounds, like all of us have. And I can see his wife going, I want slave Leia Tim sexy, not like this 40 year old sexy, you know?
Actually, I was there and saw it. There was never a Tim Leia sexy.
That's what I'm saying. So he went downhill from just there.
I know he's not on the show anymore, but. I think it's safe, and he doesn't follow. He unfollowed me on all social networks, so I can say, there was never Tim as sexy.
Anything. It was fucking terrible.
children were running in fear when they saw that. They were just like, "Oh my god, I can't unsee this."
What makes the photo though is not only is it disturbing just to look at it him by himself. It's the fact that you have John from Kentucky, like this weird wrist, kind of like I don't want to look, but I'm taking the photo, and then you have Colleen also going like. Oh my god. Like, what am I witnessing?
We have Damon Lindelof season.
Oh yeah. Dude, we lost any and all contact with David Lindelof that day.
I said, you're gonna want to see this.
Yeah, and someone dragged him over and I was like,
I was
like,
wrong.
What the
I was,
fuck
I was
am
wrong.
I doing here?
I was wrong.
Yeah.
But Matt doesn't want to do So what is it, Matt?
This was a great show, guys. This was more than a million.
Now he's trying to rush us up. Does he know more about these killings?
Yeah, it's all the Emmys.
No, I don't know. I just don't want anything happening.
Maybe you went to some time warp.
I shared this story just out of faith and confidence. You guys
forget about Matt.
Yeah. Well, what was last time Matt
shared
Matt
a story
you,
on faith on a podcast?
No, I think that maybe because we were talking about 1023
podcasters, podcasts with these assholes.
Maybe Matt went to some time warp, 63, yeah. I mean, and he killed those people.
Maybe he killed them in the present and then buried them in the past, but there still might be DNA. He didn't realize the DNA evidence can still be usable today.
All right. Yeah. And, you know, murder, there's no statute of limitation. You can be charged.
I mean, maybe Matt is the James Franco of this episode.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he is. So
the only thing I've ever experienced beyond, like those.
He's just waiting.
Is Matt James Franco?
What? No. No, I'm no.
I think it's a great
time. Except he went back in time, like, the guy from 5 years before whatever event Matt has to stop, and he has to weather all these years of podcasting with us.
And now he's
killing him slowly on the inside.
Since he was drunk last
week, I wake up in the mirror, and I'm like, dear God, what happened to my good looks?
That was actually one of the things I had no idea what the show was about when I started watching it, but that was one of the weirdest things. Like, when you see him,
it has the date.
Christian. you see, Chris, well, you know, the guy that runs the diner, you know, he's there, and then all of a sudden he comes back, and you're like, damn, he looks like shit. Like, what happened? And then, like, oh, then it been gone for two and a half.
So you're saying Matt looks like shit because he doesn't look. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know where this conversation is going, frankly. And I, you know, you guys just.
Are you in your right attic? No.
No. Well, this is actually a picture of the attic, what it looked like when we first moved in.
Oh.
You know, I wonder, time out here. Yeah. I wonder if just building the room was kind of, you know, if you, because look behind, you got the slats there, right? Mm-hmm. You could easily put some bodies there and then put a floor over it.
No, there's. I've been all.
I'm just saying. I mean, I just
in the house though the stench. I mean,
Well, you can put them in a couple bags or something like that, right?
I will tell you
right?
I will tell you the one thing that I remember experiencing in this attic as I was working on it very early on was, I was listening to this game because I was like really into watching football and following. You know, it was playoffs. You know, and I'm up there working, like taking out old insulation and I'm putting in new insulation. And there was this game where the Chargers were playing against the Patriots, and I didn't want the Chargers to win. And the Patriots beat him, which meant
the odds of the Chargers winning.
I was at that game.
You started building that in 2007?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I started working on it. I didn't
build it. That game, Chris. The game in San Diego?
Is it the one in San Diego? That was
the one in San Diego. Fuck off.
Yeah. 2007?
It was the 2006 season, but 2007 was January 14th, 2007.
No, it's a different game.
There's a great video from a Charger fan sitting at top of the stands when McCree intercepts that ball, which should have sealed the deal, and everyone's, yeah. And this one goes, fumble. That's San Diego. That's life as a...
That was James Franco.
Yeah.
He succeeded.
The Colts could not beat the Chargers. That was because the Chargers owned the Colts.
Yeah, I know. I would rather see them play against the Patriots. That year was the year my daughter was born, and so we were going to
leave her haunted house by herself.
No, she wasn't born yet at that point. Oh, so, okay. We were going to like the kind of the birthing class and. All through the playoffs there. And then my wife planned to have the baby shower. She didn't follow football, but it just happened to be on like the Super Bowl Sunday. So,
Cindy and I almost got thrown out of our Lamaze class, whatever it's called. They didn't like the jokes.
Oh. I think people hated us because my wife and I were like, ooh, I know the answer to that one.
I know there was one lady everyone hated because she actually had the baby, you know, she was in the class, she had the baby. But if you looked at her, you go, is she even pregnant?
Right.
She's like one of those people just thin and just had, and all the other mothers are like going, hate that lady. Hate that lady. Then she came and had the baby and they're like going, Christ, she was more pregnant than I was. They hated even.
I think that's like towards the end of Friends. There's an episode that where Rachel's in the birthing room, you know, and like there's a little woman, and she's like, "I feel a contraction, honey." She's like, "It's a big one." She's like, "Ooh, that's it." You know, and then Rachel's over there like,
"Good times."
I don't know, like if I don't know, Jack. I don't know if you even was allowed back then, but like, whereas Matt and Chris. In the room when your children were born was Jack.
Yeah.
C-sections. I was there for C-sections.
I can't remember which leg.
I'm just curious, like if you wanted to be there and if you didn't want to be there, what would your wife said in that moment? If you'd have been like, babe, can I just wait out in the lobby?
She'd fucking kill me.
I mean, I don't even think that was like, I don't know. That wasn't really, that wasn't even a thought. My thought was with my daughter, my wife was in labor for a very, very long time, like 30 some hours worth of labor. At some point, I had to go home and feed the dogs. We hadn't told anybody. We didn't want anybody to know because we really didn't want anybody at the hospital. So it's late at night. It's about like 11:30 and I'm like, I need to go home and feed the dogs, you know, and it's about a 15 minute drive. So I drive home, I'm, you know, racing home to feed the dogs, get home. And of course, as soon as I get home, I get the text, like, or maybe she calls me, but she's like, come back soon. Like, it's, they say that it's going to be, and I'm like, I just got home. Like, and I'm like just hurrying up, feeding the dogs and racing back because I'm like, I have been with you for 30 hours. I am not going to miss the moment that my daughter is born at this point. Like it's like being the Chargers and going all the way to the Super Bowl, but then yoink, like it's just, it doesn't happen. And you don't get to see what it's like.
Well, you know what? I would let the dog starve because.
Now, what if it had been like your lunch break and you would have been out there with like your stellar, like lunch tray at the steering wheel. And like the wife calls, and you're like, I'm having my lunch right now. Okay. I'm in my car. You know, I got my sandwich, my apple.
You're killing my fucking vibe right now.
Yeah, right now. I just had a gummy.
I'm watching.
You really harsh mamillo, man. Yeah. I don't need to.
No, I was there for C-sections. And the first C-section, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And I get in there. Because they bring in a certain, she's already been cut open, basically. But they still have. You know, the laser is cutting the skin, and then the phone rings. I go, hey, we're not taking any calls. And then I have it on, I'm videotaping it.
Right.
They have like a suction thing and it slips. And the one doctor punches the other doctor in the face.
Oh, wow. Goes,
bam. And I, and my wife looks at me. I go, I know they're laughing. It must happen all the time. Cause I can't really see what's going on. And, but the third, the last child I knew was going to be a hoot. I knew what I was going to see.
Oh,
that freaked me out.
Yeah,
I think that because C-sections are so common these days because it gets the hospital money and they don't want to take the risks and all these things like that. Mm-hmm. I think natural birth I could probably be okay in the room with, but the C-section, that I would flip my shit. You know, like I know they put the curtain up and all that, but it's just the idea.
Don't worry, you'll see shit.
I know that. Yeah, but like it's just, you know, here's the woman you love and half of her body is out of her body. I mean, that would just kill me, I think. I mean, I don't think I could handle it. Like emotionally, I would just.
That's what I said. The third time was. Not good.
Well, on that note.
I was trying to, you know, but then, you know, we brought it back to, you know, down again.
Well, yeah.
Full circle, man.
Matt's trying to kill us again. What the hell?
I blame Matt.
Episode talking about death. And I,
you know, my child's about to be born. Oh, I got to feed the dogs. How did you get out of the hospital room?
How did I get out of the hospital room? It wasn't like it was a.
No, but I'm saying your wife just said, okay, go feed the dogs.
No, she, like, we talked about it. Like, this was like, you know.
Before you leave, give me some ice chips. Now you can go feed the dogs.
Well, so at that point, like, because she had gone natural, she held out for the longest time until she got the epidural. And because she just wasn't, she was stuck at 9. And so she just couldn't get past that last part. And so. It was a rough go there at the end. And then when she did get the epidural, I was there for that. She relaxed enough that she like slept, and then that relaxed her. So then she, you know, was up again, and that's when she was just like, you need to come back. Like, I'm, you know, and I was like, I just got home. I'm, you know, and so I was rushing back. So with our second, she had labored at home for a very, very long time. Got to the hospital and basically was like, all right, I'm ready for the epidural. I'm done with this. Like, she was just like, and they were like, no, sweetie, you are too far along. You know, this is happening now. Uh-huh. And so she was like, so it was kind
they
of
called
a
her sweetie.
I don't know, but it was like, don't, you know, I say things that
I'm not saying you said sweetie. I'm saying they said sweetie.
I think so. I think there was a sweetie involved.
And I would have said your sexist. Give me another doctor.
All right. So bringing a full circle, begin with
am I wrong? Am I wrong?
I'm just trying to end the show.
Well, you can end the show all you want, but
No.
When you had your son, did you tell the ghost, hey, can you feed the dogs? This could be a while.
No, because it was in the morning.
Okay.
Left, and it was very, very, it happened very quickly.
They're saying, no, Matt, you killed us. We're not feeding any dogs.
All right. So tonight, it's really great. And I know Chris has some things to get to, and he's been dying to leave us for the last 40 minutes. So let's wrap this up here.
Well, he wants that Netflix.
I don't think he said shit.
I believe before the podcast, I knew. I can sense things. It's like we're force sensitive.
I do have daddy duty in the morning. Like
a pull, you know, the heart pull. Anyway,
we got grandpa duty.
If you enjoy this podcast, as
duty,
sure you are. You can write to the other guys and tell them to.
It's a baby Ruth.
So, at rcadcast@gmail.com, just send them all of the emails that just say STFU. So, anyway, if you want to get one of those TV tray tables for your car, like we discussed it a couple times,
it's pretty cool.
Really, really great idea.
You want to be that lonely guy sitting there eating, crying, and this.
It's fucking great.
I like what Miami Mike said though. Matt had to go home to clean the gutters.
Nope, not enough time to clean the gutters. All right. If you enjoy this show, and why not? You're enjoying it live. Thank you so much for everybody that that does join us live.
Sherry just dropped you there.
Yeah, he did. Beat me to the punch there. Sherry, thank you.
It's gonna be cleaning the gutters in a slave Leia costume up in a ladder. That'd be cool. Like all bent over.
None of that is right. And please don't.
What clean the gutters mean?
Huh? All right. So tonight's show was made possible by a grant by viewers like you. Become a patron. Go over to janjack.com. Click on the patron link. Help us out in any way that you can. We do appreciate it. Patrons at a certain level get our bonus show when we do those. And last week's was huge, monumental.
It was longer than the regular show.
It was.
Not the same, yeah.
It felt like it, for sure. This week's graphics featured a Talking Heads image. And so all of the patron names tonight are Talking Head themed. So these are all the lyrics from songs by the Tacking Heads. Don't touch him. He's a real live wire. Eckhart Killer. Richter's saying.
Not so bad.
This is not my beautiful letter carrier. And you may ask yourself, well, how did Ed get here? Might be my favorite one. I should have left that for the end. But this ain't no party. This ain't no disco. This ain't no Maggie around.
How did my letter get here? Anyway,
you know what? You stick to your song. I'm just part of the show. Thank you very much. You
put a little switch. So I got a little switch on. How did my email get here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just a letter. Everybody's a critic here. No. Okay. Home is where I want to be. I come home. Joanne lifted up her wings. I guess that this must be the place. Okay. All time favorite songs.
Just stay with that, but that's okay.
Greg is taking a hiatus actually from the Tacking Heads and formed a side band called the Modern Gregors. So
You're sliding fast, but
that's all. That's okay. Anyway,
it was good, but not as good as last week.
I'm not talking. Hey, you guys are cutting me off here. Special
great show, kids. One in a million.
What you gonna do when you get off the cast? I'm
just gonna remove all those assholes so I can say the last thing. Special thanks to Put Away the Ethan. This part is simple. Try to recognize what is in your mind. Thank you, Ethan, for helping us out. And that little thing was for you from Slippery People, which I know you and I both love. So I'll bring the other guys back because they just like to interrupt me. This was a really great show. It was one in a million. So.
What a-
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Right where you are standing.